It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Broads, we're back. I'm feeling better.
Good morning.
Oh my god, I already forgot about last Wednesday and what a shit show that was.
Dude, our episode that we dropped on Tuesday, we recorded last week, and that was when I had almost just passed out and you were on death's door with your migraine and I was on death's door with my migraine.
It got better. Like, I don't know about you, but like it got better throughout the night. I mean,
yeah, I started to feel better. I crashed hard once we went to a comedy show, yeah, and then we got back afterwards and had to do a little bit of editing to put the episode, yeah, out. And at that point I was somewhat delusional. Yeah. Like I was losing my mind, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But Broads, if you haven't listened to Tuesday's episode, you should.
I thought it was a banger.
I had a fun. We were loopy.
I thought it was good.
And I'm proud of it.
I thought it was funny.
But I feel so much better this week.
Oh my god, me blessings too. Blessings. Me too. Oh my god. It was, you know what though? I think that the laughter invigorated me when we went to the comedy show, and also we got to see some like celebrity,
okay,
comics.
Let me make something very
clear.
Let me make something very clear. Broads, I would like to make a formal statement about who Becca is. If you've listened to our Jessica Lignato episodes, Jessica's always like, you have fortune in your chart. Are you always lucky? And I'm like, yes, Becca is always lucky. I have been to the Comedy Store thousands of times. Yeah,
Jessica's comedy nights constantly.
It's my church, okay? Like, that's what I do. That is my religion. It's my practice. And
I need to go more with you. I have so much fun every time.
It's so much fun. It's such a good energy, yeah, there. Like, yeah, you feel...
I love to laugh.
It's also history, too. Like, you feel like this has been here for so long. Like, it just feels... It's energy when you walk in. But I've been a million times. And, you know, you're talking about the comedians who perform there. These are the greatest comedians, like, currently,
yeah,
right? So you're always spoiled when you, yeah, go to the Comedy Store. Always a good choice. But never once in my many times of going have I had like a massive celebrity drop in. I take this bitch like the second time ever, not one, but two massive celebrity drop ins to the point that all the other comedians who are at the store are in the back of the room. Like, oh my god, look at what's happening. Go ahead, tell them who showed up.
We had, so they're like, and we're bringing out Kevin Hart. And this is also me. I go, oh. And then they're like, Chris Rock. And I'm like, oh. We're sitting like 15 feet away, you know, and I'm like, oh, good show. What a nice night.
I'm in shock. It's like, yeah, the first Kevin Hart, the lights are going crazy. And I'm like, are you kidding
Security's
me?
Security's filling in the back of the room.
You know, there are celebrities in the back all, yeah, of a sudden who are like in
who'd
his
who'd you see, Paul
crew.
Rudd or something?
Paul Rudd was in the back. And I was like, oh my God, Zaddy. And then right after Kevin Hart,
yeah,
Kevin Hart,
yeah,
Hart's like, I'd like to bring up one of my other friends. And it's Chris Rock,
yeah,
comedy god,
yeah,
and I'm about to shit myself, and Becca's just like, this is amazing. And then after the show, Becca's like, is this like the typical? I'm like, no. No. You were just there for like a legendary night.
Like, amazing.
This is amazing.
You know what I will say? Kevin Hart was good. I mean, they're legends. They're legends.
Legends.
But I will say, well, and I think they go to test out new material, too, was
right,
why they just show up and drop
they're
in.
They're there to test out, like, a potential,
yep,
new hour.
Yep, yep. But I was telling Gray, I was like, you know, I'm not going to lie, I laughed harder at some of the, like, comedians that I had no idea who they were,
oh,
than theirs.
I mean, Kevin Hart and Chris Rock, to me, he was unreal. Like, my whole body was, like, vibrating.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's Chris Rock.
Yeah.
They were both hilarious. But that's the beauty of the Comedy Store, where you're like, oh my god, these people who I've never even heard of, who have been perfecting their craft for like 15
yeah,
years,
yeah,
they go up on stage and I'm like absolutely sobbing,
yeah,
sobbing, crying.
Yeah. And I so admire, oh my God, there's a young kid who went up after both of them in between the headliner. And I felt, but you know what? And everyone was just kind of like, and this is another thing.
He was amazing. And he was
great.
And he came out on stage right after Kevin Hart to Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And he was like, and then the headliner was coming right after him. And he was.
He put in work. And that's what I always admire. And I'm like, especially, and he was young too. Like, he must have been like, I don't even know if he was like legally supposed to be there.
He must have been like 19 or 20. And he came out, he acknowledged the situation that was going on and he was fantastic.
Yeah. I just love seeing like younger people hustle too and just like do their thing. And, but you know what? I will tell you what I thought is so funny. And this is what I also love about going to comedy shows is that there were times where you and I were like the only people laughing in the room and we were like scream laughing. Like I cannot. Not sit up straight and I'm like
and it was just like pretty quiet
and we're literally the only ones shriek laughing.
There was one,
it was him, he was he was doing impressions of like being at certain clubs and he was doing these different DJ voices and we were dying everyone else in the room. And this is what I will say about comedy shows, especially with headliners like that or big names, people will laugh their ass off at anything they'll say.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wait, but that objectively was just not as funny as this. No. You're just laughing because they're famous.
They're just
and so
impressed.
You just think they're funny.
They're giggling because they're so excited to be in the same room with this individual. But I'm like,
I laugh for the pure laughs, okay, guys?
And I'm the same as you. I do feel like I am kind of a comedy show nightmare, though, because you know I'm a silent laugher.
Yeah. And you're like,
and so I'm like, no, I'm dying laughing, and you can't hear me at all, which like gives the comedians
nothing. I'm pretty loud,
nothing.
Don't you think? I feel like I shriek.
You have a good balanced laugh.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like it's like loud, but it's not where, because you know there are sometimes people at comedy shows
and they're like,
but I love
that.
I love it too. But everyone's distracted in the room. Everyone's just turning and looking to be like, who is this person that sounds like a hyena? It's like, I have a specific friend who I stopped going to comedy. And this person, like, we have a bond of comedy. Like, we love the same comedians. But I had to stop going with them because I would get so uncomfortable because the laughter was so incessant and so intense.
Cackly,
that every comedian would focus. And it would just, and at first it was like, this is funny. But then after a while, you're like, dude, every single comedian is like pointing this person out. And then I'm having to like engage. And I'm like, sometimes I'm just not in the space.
That is so funny.
It was brutal. It was brutal.
We've got to go. Okay, invite me whenever next time we go. And we got to try to get up in the front. We almost did. We were almost in the front row.
I will say the show that we went to, the comedians were not.
They were not doing a lot of
they weren't doing crowd
work. Yeah.
Sometimes you have a show where it's literally all crowd work. One of my favorite moments ever going to a comedy show was we were front row. It was myself, Evan, and then two friends of ours. One of our friends is the lead singer in a band called American Authors, and they have the song, ooh, ooh, gonna be the best day of my life. So this was a couple years ago. Obviously, that song was like huge many years ago, but this was still numerous years ago. One of the the comics came out, and it was so funny because he's one of my fave comedians to see live. His name is Harland Williams. He was Rocket Man. He was in Dumb and Dumber. His live comedy is so fucking funny to me. Like, it's weird and it tickles my funny bone. Yeah. Like, there was one joke that he said the last time, just like off the cuff. And I
you thought it
no,
was
no,
just
I was like, I would literally had to excuse myself because I dribbled pee a little bit because I was laughing so hard and everyone was laughing, but I was, it was boisterous.
Just, sometimes they just get you. Certain people get you.
The joke was, and I don't feel bad saying this because it was literally like a random off the cuff one. I'm not ruining his show. He just goes, he's like, did you know? He's like, did you know that pumpkins are the only living organism with triangle shaped eyes?
Just stupid.
And I just was like, I couldn't handle myself. It was so dumb. And I was obsessed. I was crying. I was just picturing, and he's so goofy.
Yeah.
But his crowd work is unparalleled to me.
Next level.
In my opinion. He'll just randomly call out people in the audience, be like, ma'am, can you please stop looking at me like that? Like, just call out people constantly. So we're in the front row and he's like, he goes up to, looks at our friend and goes, hey, little buddy, what do you do for a living? And then our friend Zach is just like, I'm actually in a band. And he's like, oh, you're in a band. And he starts just, you know, mocking the whole like LA musician thing, whatever. And he's like, well, little buddy, if you sit, if like, what do you do in the band? Do you play an instrument? He's like, no, I'm the lead singer. He's like, oh, well, then you're going to have to take this mic and sing us one of your songs. And so he was so embarrassed, but we're like, Zach, you have to do it. You have to do it. I'm like, just sing the hit. Give the people what they want. And so Zach grabbed the mic and he started singing Best Day of My Life. And Harlan took the mic back afterwards. He's like, oh, so you're like actually a musician. He's like, that song did pretty well. Okay, never mind.
I know that
and
song.
We were crying. He had his moment. He's like, the band had been famous for a minute. So he like had his shining glory.
That's awesome.
There are just so many good moments.
Yeah, you guys should go to stand-up comedy.
Go to stand-up comedy. Go see Craig when Craig's in your area. He's fantastic.
I mean, that's why I wanted to have Craig on the show. I thought he was hilarious.
He's so funny.
I haven't seen him since I first saw him and wanted. I haven't been to one of his shows since.
We gotta go. Pop in.
We gotta prioritize it. You know what we didn't do?
I will. In one moment, I will. Yes. Okay. So I want to say this quick though. First, yes. Broads, if there are any comedians that you love, please first of all tell us. Second, slide into their DMs and tell them to come on the show.
Yeah.
Because we would love to have more comedians on. We do have some comedians coming on the show soon who I'm a huge fans of. So very excited about that. But let the people know, because that's typically then when they'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Especially if there's like stand-up, like comedian podcast too that you like. That's also good intel for us to
let us know. I want to get my giggles on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. We like funny people.
Okay, let's take a quick pause, though. Quick pause. Broads, Valentine's Day is all about love. Love for your partner, love for yourself. It doesn't matter if you're coupled up or flying solo. Show yourself some love this February 14th with a new intimate set of ultra-soft loungewear pieces from Third Love. I actually just went on a little shopping spree at Third Love and ordered, well, basically every piece I could, okay? From their new Deco Lace collection.
Oh, I just got that bra in the mail.
So good. So good. Which is designed to make you feel sexy 365 days a year. I mean, how could I resist?
Third Love is without a doubt my favorite place to shop for all things intimate. The entire experience is truly seamless. It's easy and it's enjoyable. So you start off by taking their online fitting room quiz. It's legitimately like having your own personal shopper. The quiz asks you questions about your breast shape and size. They ask you about current fit issues with other bras, even about your personal style. And then after you're done, you're going to get personalized recommendations based on your results. So it makes finding bras, lingerie, and loungewear easy the first time.
Yes. When I told you I am obsessed with my Third Love bras, underwear, and loungewear, that would be, I mean, it's an understatement of the century. It's got to a point where I was only reaching for my Third Love stuff each morning. So I ended up donating everything else. Once you wear Third Love anything, there really is no going back. But don't worry, because if you do get something that you don't love, you can exchange or return it for free within 60 days thanks to Third Love's perfect fit promise.
That's a long time too. 60 days, that's 2 months to try it out.
I know.
That's
awesome.
Okay, so feeling is believing. Upgrade to everyday pieces that love your body as much as you do. And right now you can get 20% off your first order at thirdlove.com/chatty. That's 20% off at thirdlove.com/chatty.
You know, there are a few things that are as exciting to me in life as a clean, well-organized, fully stocked pantry. It doesn't happen often, but when I do it,
it lasts for about a day, right?
Yeah, it's just so good. And then I do love the pantry restock. Mm. It's just so satisfying. I actually did a complete pantry overhaul just a few weeks ago. Since it's the new year, I figured we might as well start it off fresh. I was looking to replace all my pantry staples with cleaner versions, and that obviously meant I was spending a whole lot of time on Thrive Market. Oh, yeah. Market.
Yeah. Thrive Market's the only site you need if you want to make healthy swaps this year. Thrive's an online membership-based market on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. And this place has it all. I think what's also incredible is if you live especially like in a remote place or you can't get to the store as often as you'd like to different, you know, they have all of that stuff online. From ethically sourced pantry staples to healthy snacks to sustainable meat and seafood, even non-toxic cleaning and beauty products, it's a one-stop shop. Whatever you need, Thrive Market has you more than covered. And once you become a Thrive member, you're going to start saving on every order because Thrive Market always offers the very best price.
And here's the really great thing about Thrive Market. It makes it super simple to do healthy your way. When you shop on Thrive, you can easily filter by over 90 different values and lifestyles like gluten-free, zero waste, all of the things. However you want to eat and live, Thrive Market makes it easy to do so.
Can your grocery store do that? Well, now it can. When you go to thrivemarket.com/chatty, join today to get 40% off your first order and a free gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E market.com/chatty to get 40% off your first order and a free gift. That's thrivemarket.com/chatty. Okay, so okay. Backing up. Last week I was talking about how to take David Sedaris's masterclass. Anyway, he asks random people random questions because he doesn't like making small talk. And he says he always finds out really interesting things about people. So we said that we were going to go to the comedy club that night and like ask someone like a question and go for it. I didn't. We actually, the show went late, much later.
We had the two big drop-ins.
Yes. And you had to edit the show. I had to go home and pack to leave for the South the next day. So we pretty much like did a quick U-turn and didn't really mingle and chat very much. Okay, but you're having a smile like you did this.
I did it.
I didn't. I forgot. You didn't.
No, I did.
You did.
With my Uber driver.
Yes.
So yeah, because we were out on the patio and we saw one of our friends and we talked
that
for
night.
A minute.
You did that night. Good
I did it
job!
That night. I was like, I'm going to do
such
it.
You're a good student.
Okay, but you know, let me say this. Yeah, so Becca had challenged.
Actually, I did ask an Uber driver in Nashville. I'll tell you in a second.
Oh, okay. See, then you did it.
But it wasn't that crazy.
See, that's what I was going to say about mine too. I feel like I kind of copped out a little
bit. Did you ask him something pertaining to Uber?
No.
Okay.
But it wasn't too random of a question. Okay. So yeah, I'm like, okay, Becca's challenge, ask the random question. Okay. Some of your ideas had been like, do you have a random tattoo anywhere? Yeah. Have you buried a body, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't think I should ask my Uber driver about burying a body. But I hopped in the car and I had been on the phone with Evan for a second. And after I got off the phone, my Uber driver was like, I could tell, was like up for a chat because he like made a comment about, because I asked Evan, I called Evan and I said, I just need to know, did you finish my leftover pizza? Because if you did, that's fine, but I'm calling in more food because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got off the phone, my Uber driver was like, that's a good marriage. He goes, you got to call to check so that you're not mad at the person when you show up and they ate your food. I was like, all right, he's open for a chat.
Yeah. He's making
conversations. So the first thing that came to my brain was, so I go, I have a question for you. I'm like,
it was the first thing that came to your brain. So that's good. That's good.
I was like, so I have a random question for you. I'm like, when was the last time that you felt really, really helpless?
Oh, shit. That's a fucking good question.
Thanks.
That's intense.
But I know I went really hard.
That's dark.
But I always, I always go dark.
I can't remember.
I can't ever think of like the fun ones.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever donated an organ? Like off the top?
Hey, but if that's where you break, holy shit. That's intense.
Yeah. It got really heavy in the car.
So did they tell you?
Yeah. He was like,
first of all, how did he respond? Like right away. He was just like,
like he literally like paused and was like, wow, that's a really good question. Like he was taken aback by me asking it. Yeah. And so I felt this immediate moment of, I was like, oh, you and I are brother and sister. We are now connected by blood.
We are kin.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So he opened up right away and he was like, you know, he's like, I have an older daughter. But my wife recently gave birth about 3 months ago, and we were living in Georgia before, and now we're living here. And I'm feeling with like COVID and also not being used to the healthcare out here. He's like, I feel like it's terrible. He's like, I have this newborn that has health issues.
Yeah.
And when we were living in Georgia, he's like, I had with my oldest, like I would make a call in the middle of the night and our doctor would call us back like anytime I had a question. And so I felt like we had control over the situation. He's like, now he's like, it takes weeks to get in with a doctor. And I'm just so, I feel so helpless to like be there for my newborn and now for my wife because she's dealing with postpartum. Yeah. So then I start talking with postpartum because I was like, you know,
postpartum depression.
And so then I was talking with him about stuff that I had experienced. And we had this like really like beautiful conversation where we both opened up. And then after when he like pulled up to the house to drop me off, we were kind of still in the middle of talking. And then when I hopped out, he was like, thanks so much for asking me that. I was like, thanks so much for being honest with me.
Wow.
And it was beautiful.
That's awesome.
It was beautiful.
Bravo.
And it motivated me. I'm like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
Becca made the right choice in the challenge. I'm like, it was a powerful moment.
That's so
instead
cool.
of just an Uber drive where I just would have been staring at my phone and getting car sick the whole time.
Yeah. Truly. Truly. Well, and I think what's cool is that you did ask the first question off the top of your head, even though it felt kind of dark. I think that was your instinct telling you that this was what the person needed to get off their chest.
I feel like you're right. When you said last episode that we're all maybe a little bit psychic, there was a part of me that I was like, why is this my first inclination to ask this man who, by the way, was very positive and friendly energy.
Yes.
So it wasn't like he seemed sad and I was like, hey, are you okay?
Right.
It was almost like there was this facade that he felt like, or like, you know, just a character he had to put up while at work.
Yeah.
That he couldn't then. And then he got really, I mean, the energy shifted for sure.
Wow.
And then he gave me his card and he was like, anytime you need to ride, you can call me, da da da. And I was like, I will be calling you
so
that we can catch up and I'll ask you another strange question. You'd be like, this bitch.
So cool.
Yeah. So you asked
No. Okay. So this is the thing. To give a little context, so I'm such a fucking dumbass. So I left my wallet at Gray's parents' house whenever we were there. Don't know when we were there. Or we switched cars and I accidentally left it in their car. Just like something stupid. So we're flying into Nashville last week on Thursday. And Wednesday night, I'm like, fuck, I still don't have my wallet. I'm like, well, I have my passport, whatever. And then I'm like, fuck, I'm supposed to I should taper off my language. So I said, frick, I am supposed to get a rental car because my friends live in Huntsville, which is like 2.5 hours away. They had already offered to pick us up, but I was like, it'll probably be easier if we get the rental car. Whatever.
You have your freedom that way.
Right. I love having a car when we travel places. So I should have just Googled, because I had like a picture of my driver's license. I had my passport. I should have just Googled, can you rent a car with a picture of your driver's license? Because later on when I Googled it, when it was way too late, the answer was very clearly, no, they cannot legally rent you a car if you don't have your driver's license or like a DMV paper in hand.
Uh-huh.
But it's fine. I told them, I told my friends, I go, just have Austin on standby. He wasn't working. He was just playing video games that day anyway that had already offered. So he's like, no, that's cool. Just let me know when you figure it out at the rental car place, whether or not you're going to be able to rent a car. So we do the 3.5 hour plane ride. We get there. It's freezing cold. We're at the rental car thing and immediately they're like, no, we can't rent you a car that way. And I'm like, okay. And then the girl's like, well, actually, if you are getting a replacement driver's license, you can do it on the DMV website and they'll send you a copy and you might be able to show our manager that. So then I'm sitting and then I'm like trying to log into the DMV website. So
Ruth had already just been on the plane.
Right. So I'm trying to keep her occupied as I'm sitting on the floor, trying to figure out this DMV form, trying to figure out my login because apparently I already had used my name and driver's license for login before. But then all of that bullshit.
Giving me anxiety thinking about it.
And I was just like, God. And then, come to find out. Then I see, error, you're going to have to go into, when I finally log in, you're going to have to go, for some reason, you in particular, are going to have to go into your DMV in person to try to do a replacement card. I'm like, oh my God. So whatever. I'm like, okay. Then I finally give them the green light, start driving over. So then I have 2.5 hours. We're in the rental car place. I'm like, we're not going to hang out here for 2.5 hours. No. We're hungry. We need to go somewhere. Then I'm like, Bruce doesn't have a car seat. Normally I do a car seat at the rental car place. And I was already banking on that. So then I'm texting them. Hey, can you bring a car seat? She's like, oh, my nanny kids only have one and they need it this evening. I'm like, okay, so we're going to have, so then we have to make our way with our luggage to Target to get a car seat. And then of course, you know, you're those weird people, you know, we see people with suitcases and you're just like, what is going on? Then we're those people with suitcases. Stranded, yeah. Yeah, like in Target. And then we're, and then I have to ask someone for scissors to unbox the suitcase. And I'm like, can you throw this away for me? All this packaging. So then I have the, you know, and then I'm calling an Uber and then we get to the restaurant and I have like a car seat and luggage. And I'm like, is it just cool?
And you're ready
and
for bed.
And I didn't realize I showed up at a restaurant that is like a fancy restaurant. So there's literally people going out to like date night dinner and like birthday dinners
No.
So we're in like our airport clothes with a freaking car seat and suitcase. This is in LA where you can just walk down the street, you know, it's like 40 degrees and everything's all sprawled out because you're by the airport. So I'm just like, okay, we're eating here. And I'm just like trying to keep her, you know, just like reading her books in the booth and like ordering her spaghetti noodles with butter, you know, just that. It was just that whole thing. And then I like look at the time. I'm like tracking his location. I'm like, he's still an hour away. Like, this is ridiculous. So then I'm like, okay, fine. I'm just going to try to time it perfectly. So I'm just going to get an Uber towards where he is to a Starbucks where I think we'll be a halfway point because that'll just kill time. We're not going to sit in this restaurant booth for another hour. Yeah, there's nothing else for us to do, which I did end up timing it perfectly. We ended up at Starbucks at the same exact time. And I was like, yes. Yeah, one win. So anyway, that's the context here. So I'm a little frazzled in the car.
I would imagine a lot of frazzled. And I do have to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that in these situations, you always stay very calm, which is always very impressive to me. I have full meltdown or anger, and you are able to handle those situations very well.
I have to say, my parents, they fucked up a lot of things, but one thing, no, not a lot. They fucked me.
They fucked me up royally. But
they made the mistakes. But I will say, it was something I learned from sort of both of them. They were like, well, you can either make that time miserable, you can make it even worse with your shitty attitude, or you can have a good attitude, and then who knows, you might have a little fun, you might not, but at least you won't be doubly miserable in addition to the situation.
And that is a very powerful and true statement. And so I feel like you do that. You do that. I need to work on that.
Like, what are you going
to
do?
I just allow all of my anxiety and emotions to take over. And I just have an absolute spiral sesh.
I mean, of course, there are moments when I'm like, well, what's going to make it worse? Like, if I start getting all freaked out, then she's going to get all freaked out. And it's just whatever. It's all going to be over soon. So then we're in the Uber and I'm like trying to tap into my gut intuition. Like, what should I ask him? Like, you know, like. And then I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't think of anything. So I just said like, or maybe I was ignoring the thing that I should have asked him. I don't know. He was, who knows? I don't know if anything came up, but maybe if I had just paused and thought for a second, maybe something would have come to mind. He was a really sweet guy with a thick Southern accent. And he was so sweet talking about his daughter and how his kids are in their 20s and they still come visit him all the time, which, and I'm like, well, that means that you did something right as a parent. Your kids come over, you know?
Oh,
like,
that's so nice.
You know? Because he said, like, oh, my daughter, she always comes over and wants to just hang out with me. And I'm like, well, that means you were a good parent.
It means you were a good
dad. She's 22 and she wants to hang out with you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so sweet? So anyway, he just seemed like the sweetest guy. And
so I asked him who he's killed.
I asked him, have you ever cheated on your wife before? No.
Have you ever gambled away your entire savings and left your family in absolute
Yeah. When was the time you disappointed like your loved ones the most, would you say? No, I just asked him a stupid Uber related question, like a cop out. And I just said, you know, he's driven Uber for 4 years. So I was just like, what's the wildest thing that ever happened? He was like, it was the middle of the day. It wasn't even the middle of the night. No one was drunk. And there's a guy in my front seat and 3 guys in my back seat. And the 3 guys in the back seat were paying for the guy in the front seat to get his nipples pierced. And they were all trying to convince me to get my nipples pierced, too. And I said, no, thank you. And that was
that is the most wholesome thing I've ever heard. It's so wholesome.
It was so wholesome. I'm like, in 4 years, that's the wildest thing you've ever seen in an Uber. And then he goes, well, and sometimes people come in and they're not passed out, but I didn't know it was possible to be that drunk and be conscious at the same time. Some people roll in here. I just don't know. Then that was my Uber driver. Wholesome. It was so sweet.
But you still asked the question.
I did ask a question, but it was something I might have asked already, you know.
But you guys were already chatting.
I'm gonna try again.
You guys were already chatting.
I'm gonna try again.
You're good about like having like flowing conversation. I can sometimes get a little stuck, so I feel like this idea of asking a random question is good for me.
Yeah.
Because I can just be in a zone where I am stuck.
Well, I do get anxious because sometimes the conversation keeps flowing. And then as traffic's building up, I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to this person for another 30 minutes. Because generally it does get, when I talk to people, they do end up talking about like, you know, their custody battle with their kids.
They'll open up.
So, you know, and they start chatting. And then I'm like, and then I'm just sitting there going like this. Oh man, that's really hard. Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah,
I'm so incredibly sorry.
Yeah, right. Or I'm just saying things like this where I'm like, man, you know, that just doesn't seem fair that she like responded that way. You know, like she's supposed to be the one that's supporting you. You know, and I'm just like saying that. And I'm like, I want to be on my phone.
I had a situation a few times because of my dental work. So when I had my the tooth pulled and then the dry socket had happened, I had to keep going back like every 3 days to the dentist for them to pack it with this like type of clove thing that the second the clove is is put in there, the taste is, it lights your mouth up like you would not believe. But then also you don't want to touch it, because if you touch it's like it'll make you want to throw up. Mm. So then you're trying to avoid it. So your mouth is filling with spit. Dude, at least mine does. So I'm taking these Uber drives like right after from my dentist office.
Dude, I'm getting like a visceral reaction right now, because I'm also thinking like gauze in the mouth and the
oh, it's brutal. And every time I take one of these Uber drives from the dentist office to my house every couple days, I would happen to have a chatty Uber driver. And I'm sitting there and I can't, if I talk, it like will light up my mouth. So I'm like, I get in and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I can't talk because of my dental work. And like, they'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. But they would just keep talking. And so I'm sitting there. This is so gross. I'm literally, after the first ride, I figured out I needed to bring a cup with me.
No, dude. No.
Under my mask.
Cut this. Trigger warning. No. No. No.
I couldn't help it. It was horrifying.
Spitting in the cup.
It was so gross. Not only was I spitting in the cup, I was dry heaving.
Was it bloody?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was dry heaving because of the cup situation, because it was horrifying to me, but I couldn't stop, or else, because the first drive, my whole chest was covered. My mask was soaked. My whole front of my chest was soaked.
By the way, I'm sorry. Masks are fucking disgusting. You ever like be talking in Uber or something for like 45 minutes and it's just damp?
Oh,
that's disgusting.
I get really like,
that is foul.
I get really grossed out after I take one off and I just see all my makeup. Like, that's like the new sunglasses. You know, when you take your sunglasses off and the rim is just covered with makeup and you're just like, oh, sorry. And like shove it away.
Also, like the makeup is like your pore, you know, you can see like your pores and hair like in through the foundation, mark on your it's glasses.
It's gross. It's very gross. Also, have encouraged me to buy Listerine strips. You know what I mean?
On our headphones.
Yeah, definitely on the headphones.
I know. I've just been thrown in the wash every time.
But how was the rest of your time in Nashville?
Oh, it was so. We were only in Nashville the day of and the day leaving, which actually the whole thing got screwed up because I was supposed to stay with Kaylee, who's been on our podcast before. She lives in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
And she got put on new medication and she was in Buffalo visiting her parents and she was so dizzy she couldn't stand up. So she was supposed to drive home. So she couldn't drive home.
Oh, that's so
sketchy.
But she
let us stay in her house on the night because I decided to be an absolute idiot. And yesterday I booked our flight home for 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Like the flight was at 6 a.m. Nashville time. So that means I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning Pacific time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I saw that post on Instagram and I was like, yikes, that's going to be really rough for you the next day.
I do this to me all the time. I do this to me. I do this to myself all the time. I'm like, yeah, you'll deal with it. Like, you'll literally be fine. I book the plane and I'm like, eh, what's waking up at 4 a.m., you know?
Oh, my
God. And then the night before, I'm just like, what?
You're like, why?
What is wrong with me?
Yeah, no.
So I'm going to try not to do that anymore. But anyway, I actually felt pretty good, all things considered.
Good for you. A late night flight, like a red eye or an early morning flight, I need about 3 to 4 days to recover.
God. But, you know, we kind of slept on the plane and then, I don't know, I actually feel fine. So who knows? I did try to go to bed at like 8:30. Regardless, Alabama was fun. There's like actually like a cool, like up and coming little art scene there in Huntsville. Cool.
It looked like it. There was Ruth with the snow was.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was so cute.
No, I was like crying time. And rewatching it like 4 times. It like it was so a lifetime pure. Movie. I was like, I can't stop watching this.
So pure. I got to tell you something that happened though. So we go to this. So I'm into German food lately. And because it's like the only thing the I can schnitzel. Eat on the fucking Candida diet. So they have lots of sauerkraut.
Yes.
And sausages. 2 things I can eat. So I'm like, perfect.
You're just like, you become this full on like beer garden. You're straight just up. Like, Oktoberfest.
Minus the beer. So because they give you a whole plate of sauerkraut with a sausage on top. And I'm like, there's a meal for me. That's a meal that I can, yes. that I can do. So I was like berating or like, yeah, my friends the whole weekend just being like, we've got to go to that German place you mentioned. Like, we've got to go to the yes. German place. So we drive to this German place. We get in there. The place is packed. There is like there's like standing room only.
But the German restaurant is popping off.
The German restaurant is popping off. And wow. We overhear someone say, this is like the best food in town. And then the guy at the front, we're like, hi, yeah, they're 4. And he goes, yeah, our waiting list is too full actually to even add people to the waiting list until 9 p.m. tonight. So we're not taking any more names. And I'm like, oh.
I didn't know this was Boa Steakhouse. I didn't know this was Saddle Ranch. I didn't know fucking Josh Richards and Tana Mojo were outside getting slipped into the back.
I'm like, I'm sorry, Broom Heiferson in Huntsville. I didn't know that I was too much of a peasant to be here, you know? Like, so anyway, that happened. So then we're like, let's go to the second best German place in Huntsville.
I did not know that that Huntsville was, Huntsville, maybe. Huntsville.
yeah. Huntsvilleheisen. So we went to the second German place and, you know, you could tell it wasn't quite 5 stars like the other German place. And you know that because the
on
other
On the count
place,
of the rats?
Well, yeah, on the count of the rats scurrying under the tables, eating up the pieces of my sauerkraut that I dropped on the floor. We were actually feeding them by hand. So you could tell it is not a nice German place because the first German place, you know, they just have normal tables with white sure. tablecloths. Mm-hmm. And then you go to, you know, Mama's, think of a German name quickly.
Heidi.
Mama Heidi Haufhausen House. You go to that place, the second best German place. You go to the second best German place and, you know, everyone's in full Lederhosen. And then you go, oh, okay.
Yes.
These are 2 different types of German restaurants.
Understood.
Still good. But, you know, when you've got like wood paneling all along the walls and everyone has their hair in braids, you're like, not the same thing.
This is a little more of like maybe the Disneyland version.
Exactly. Uh-huh. What's that restaurant with the jungle inside?
Rainforest Cafe.
A little
Cafe.
More Rainforest Cafe, sure, if you sure. will, if you will. And then we sit down and by golly, Jess, our waitress is drunk. She's tanked.
Well, she's German. Sorry. Listen, my family, you can't.
Don't come for me,
okay? Swiss.
Well, this woman.
Oh no.
Was oh right. No. So this woman is like in her 60s, you know. And at first, I'm just like, she's friendly. And then, you know, this is how it happens. I mean, you're like, she's friendly. And then about 45 seconds, and you're like, something's not right here. You know, she's like, I thought you were four to Ruth. She's like, you know, you're a
time. She's Ruth. I thought you were four.
She's like, I thought you were four, you know, but you're two, you know, you're so mature. And I don't like 2 year olds who act like they're two, you know, but I like you. But
then she's like, two-year-old.
She goes, I don't like 2 year olds who act like they're two, but you know, like I like you. So I'm like, oh, she's being playful. Sure, and then she's talking about her 11 year old son. She goes like, you know, and he, I don't even know how she got on this. She's like, you know, and I'm progressive. So I'm telling him, wear dresses, dye your hair purple. She's literally like this, wear dresses, dye your hair purple, you know, do it. And he's like, Mom, stop, you know. And she's doing all this before she even takes our drink
order.
So
you've got her whole life story. You're like, I appreciate your progressiveness, but I'm a little confused how we got here.
And I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, this is charming. So, but then she starts like fucking up the order of the people on the table next to us, where she's like, oh, you guys got salad. They're halfway through their meal. She's like, you guys got salads. You guys got salads, you know, like, here are your salads now. And they're like, okay, you know, she's like, I'm going to get you guys free dessert. It's going to be covered. And then my friends see that she's crying in the back. And then the other waitress is trying to like help her out. But then she's coming. It was horrible. And I hate this kind of stuff. It's why I hate watching Shark Tank. I don't like people losing. I don't like seeing seeing them failing. And I was just like, so I had to really be into like reading books to Ruth in that moment, because I could just not watch the train wreck.
Someone crying at work, like no.
I could not. I just had to like shut it out. And then she's like messing up their check, where she's like, this one's yours, right? And he's like, and they're like trying to keep it together, but they're like, this is, you know, you're getting pissed off with a drunk person. You're like, this is not my check.
Yeah. You're like, I'm trying to be polite, but like at this point, you know, I can tell you're drunk and there's been a lot of mistakes.
Exactly. And then, you know, they're like, you said the dessert was going to be paid for, but now the dessert's like on my check. And like, oh my God. And then the other waitress is trying to come intercept, you know, and then she's telling them, you know, like and then it makes it even worse, because she's like, I've been doing this for 20 years. You know, it's not normally like this. But then you go, no, not normally. So is this something that happens every few weekends? It's been a rough night. So she's saying that to them while she's still messing up their stuff. And I'm just like, get me out of this German hellhole. But I feel so bad for her. And then she comes to our table, and then, you know, she messes something up of ours too. But I'm like, whatever. And then, you know, she's going, I'm so sorry, guys. You know, I'm so sorry. And I go, it's okay. Just take care of yourself. And you would have thought that I just told her she won the lottery. She goes, I needed to hear that, which was cute. But then she comes back around to the table, is where it's hilarious. She goes, you know, I want to tell you thank you for what you told me earlier. Thank you. I needed to hear that from someone. You seem like a friend who gives good advice. I bet you have a lot of friends. I bet you have a lot of best friends that you give good advice to. And I go, well, you know, I never know how to. And I go, well, that's my best friend right there. You know, I'm like, how to handle it. I'm like, that's my best friend.
You're like, why don't you ask her instead?
Talk to her, not me. I go, that's my best friend right there.
I'm sure she's got a lot of answers to your statements. See,
I bet she is such a good friend to you. And she's like, honey, thank you. And then she walks away, and I'm like, I'm like waving like I'm the queen to them. I'm like, you know, like, I am the Dalai Lama. I am the Buddha. Come to me for your sage advice. So anyway, that was just a whole thing. But
oh my God.
But we were saying, like, where's the manager just being like, sit out, you know?
I mean, clearly, I think that that's all you need to know. Like, that shows you perhaps like the state of the restaurant. Maybe the manager is also drinking
Hofhauser.
Hofhauser is killing it. And, you know, his like upper management is just like, why is this not happening here? Heidi's is tanking.
I'm like, so tell Bethany to sit out for the night. There was only three tables there. Can't the other waitress
like,
handle it?
You're like, here's the thing. She's lovely. She's a lovely server. Love her. But at the end of the day, this is giving me very much like drunk girl in the bathroom energy, where I'm attempting to like have a moment of solidarity, but then it lasts too long. And now I don't even know where my friends are in the bar, because I've been talking to Becky for about 2.5 hours, and she's thrown up on me twice.
And you want to make sure she gets home safe. And you're worried for her.
You're worried for her.
And you're wondering why she's drinking right now.
Right. And you want to get to the bottom of it, but also you don't really know her. So, you know, there's this.
Where's the referee? Calling timeout, Bethany. Go get something from the soft drink machine and sit in the corner.
Have you ever been drunk at work before?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
You have?
Well, it was, I mean.
Okay, where did you work and what was happening?
It was, though, it was, I had a pass because I was, okay. Alcohol was forced upon me.
Oh, okay.
It really was.
Oh, so someone at work, like, made you,
my boss.
Oh, okay.
Which sounds so shady.
Were you a bartender?
No.
What were you?
I worked at a PR firm. So it all sounds very shady. Welcome to Los Angeles. So I was.
It's Mad Men.
Identical to it. I didn't stay there for very long. But no, there was one day where, so we had a bunch of different clients who like either did fashion or different products, makeup, whatever.
This is where the bachelor bitches would come
exactly,
through.
Exactly.
So you had to drink to get through the day.
I just hit the bottle because I could not handle,
right.
You know.
Right.
But no, one of our clients was Snoop. And okay. He had, I think it was rolling paper at the time or something having to do with weed. And so once in a blue moon, Snoop would cruise in. And so all of us would be
You guys got to be cool guys.
We got to be cool. We got to be cool. And he was great. He was always super fun and very nice to everyone, by the way, as well. Well, normally people who were higher up in the job situation would go in with my boss and have meetings with Snoop. But then my boss, who was this guy, he was very nice, but he was also gave off very desperate, I'm trying to be cool energy, but you're like, it's not, just be you. You don't have to be this guy, but he's trying to like be super Hollywood. Yeah. Yeah. And so when we'd have a big client come in,
he's like a white guy in his late 30s.
Oh, nailed it on the head, my dear, nailed it on the head. He was... He would have big clients come in. He'd have his bar and he would start drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Too much.
Oh.
Too much. Always a respectful guy, sure. Like always a nice guy. Well, one day the higher ups weren't there.
Yeah.
And so he asked if I would come in and kind of like be in there in shadow and see because he wanted to move me up, whatever. So I went into the meeting and a couple other people were drinking. So he's pouring these like shots. And I, at this point, had barely started to drink. So just sipping a little bit of straight vodka, I was toast.
Yeah. Like also, if you haven't eaten in the last couple hours, like you're at work.
No.
And also, nothing will make you feel drunker than being in a place where you're not supposed to be drunk.
You're so right. You're so right. Even if everyone else is also drinking, you're like... It's 2 p.m.
right.
On a Tuesday.
Exactly. Exactly. When you're at a concert and there's lights flashing everywhere, you know, you might be a little too litty, but, you know, you're in the atmosphere, so you're not feeling it.
Yeah.
But like, when you're at a nursing home visiting grandma, sipping on whiskey,
and you're like, you're going to be
at 10 a.m., you're like, okay, I'm drunk.
This is a lot. No, exactly. So they're pouring it, and I just am like, I probably ultimately had 1.5 shots worth.
Why would you be drinking whiskey at 10 a.m. in a nursing home? I don't know why, but I mean, I just
maybe
made
grandma
that
likes
maybe
to party.
Christmas.
Yeah, it's a celebration.
Okay, so anyway.
So I probably had about 1.5 shots worth of vodka, which is not a lot, but for me, that was a lot. And
again, on an empty stomach at work, I get it.
I was so I was like feeling cross. I'm like, oh, I'm going to throw up. So they all leave. The meeting went well. Everyone's really nice. I'm drunk. And I have to drive from Los Angeles back to
Orange County.
And so what did I do? I got in the back of my trunk after work and I slept in the back of my trunk.
In your trunk?
In my trunk. Like I had an SUV at the time. So
okay. Okay. Got it. I'm like, so you closed yourself in. I'm picturing a Corolla.
I'm like on La Cienega in the back. Like tons of cars are going by. It's like an LA night. And I am in my trunk until like 2 a.m. when I wake up. I'm like,
are you serious?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm drunk on a random street.
Oh my God.
And then I drove home.
Wow. That's terrible.
It was horrible. So I don't recommend that. Don't be drunk at work.
I guess I've had... I mean, this doesn't count at all. This is stupid. When I was like a nanny and I was in Hawaii, I would drink with them.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would feel odd sometimes where you're like, I'm supposed to be like in the zone, but I'm also... with you all and you're
except
like offering
that
me a drink.
Yeah, except that was the dumb thing. It was like, there was no reason for me to be there. They like thought that they were going to leave the baby with me and then I ended up just tagging along with them everywhere. just like sometimes hold. I'm like, I guess I'll hold the baby while you guys like eat dinner.
Yeah.
So it's more of a vacation for me. Didn't feel mad about it.
Yeah.
Not, no, I don't. I'm trying to think. I've had a lot of jobs. Climbing gym, no. Flower shop, no.
Did you ever get fired?
No. I always left before that could happen.
Me too. Up top.
I don't think there was a single job besides nannying that I worked for longer than a year though, also. Did I ever tell you about the kids' cooking show I was on?
I think you started to once and then we didn't finish it.
Well, it's not that long of a story, but I'll tell that another time because I want to get into, because I also want to talk about that is commercial modeling stuff.
Yes.
And because we were supposed to talk about that.
Oh yeah. We got to talk commercial modeling.
I want to give an update on our house thing. Should we take a break first?
Yes. Oh yes. Let's take a little pause. Okay. And then I want to hear about this because I actually don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Okay, broads, you know Becca and I have pretty high standards for Evan and Grayston, okay? We want our guys looking good. We want them smelling good. We want them feeling good every day of the week. Uh-huh. They must, okay? And trust us, that's not always an easy task that just any grooming product can handle. Oh no, we pretty much leave that exclusively up to our favorite grooming products from Hawthorne.
Here's the reason Hawthorne is so great. They've got data and tons of it to match your guy with the best products for them. Literally, Hawthorne has taken data from hundreds of thousands of their customers, so that way they can suggest the perfect products for each hair type, skin type, and lifestyle. You can go all out. You can have Hawthorne recommend an entirely new routine, or if it's just one product that needs replacing, like maybe a new moisturizer or a shampoo swap, Hawthorne can take care of that too. And I swear, y'all, Gray has been really happy with his Hawthorne products, and just having something that was curated specifically for him has actually helped him stick to his routine. He didn't have a routine before Hawthorne, so there's that.
God bless. All you need to do is hop on to Hawthorne.co and take their quiz, which will help the team at Hawthorne get to know all about who they're dealing with. The quiz will ask things like, how active are you? How much time do you have to get ready in the morning? The basics. And once the quiz is finished, Hawthorne will use the results to create a totally custom routine together tailored for your body, skin, hair, lifestyle. It's that easy. Just 5 minutes is all it takes to get the custom grooming routine for your guy, or let's be honest, your dreams.
So make sure your partner, whoever, is ready for anything or anyone that comes their way by taking Hawthorne's quiz today. Go to Hawthorne.co and use promo code CHATTY to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co, promo code CHATTY. Hawthorne.co, promo code CHATTY.
So with one little one and two fur babies at home, it's safe to say I have become very acquainted with the cleaning supply aisle of about every store in a 10-mile radius of my house. But it was not lost on me that every time I went and bought a new window cleaner or counter spray, that was just another plastic bottle being thrown away. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year?
Oh my God.
5 billion. I needed to find a better way to keep my house clean without destroying the planet. And that's when I discovered Blue Land.
Oh gosh, I love Blue Land.
Love Blue Land.
So they're all about creating a clean and healthy planet starting at home. So instead of buying single-use plastic bottles full of cleaner, you just buy a Blue Land bottle once and you refill it forever. All you need to do is fill the bottle with warm water. You can pop in one of the hand soap or spray cleaner tablets, and within minutes, you have a powerful cleaning product ready to go. The bottles start at just $10 when you buy a kit, and the refill tablets start at $2. So in the long run, you'll save tons of money and the planet and space in your house, too. Because look, if you buy, let's say, 12 refill tablets for each thing, you could be stocked for probably longer than a year, probably a couple years. But it's only going to take up like the tiniest amount of room in your cabinet.
Just a tiny part of your cabinet.
It's awesome. It makes so much sense.
The entire thing. Yes. I got my Blue Land kit in the eucalyptus lavender scent, and it is amazing. When I use my cleaner, my entire house smells like a dream. But if you want something citrus, be sure to check out the Perrine lemon scent. And if floral is your jam, iris agave is the one for you. Take it from us and give Blue Land a try. You'll love it, and the planet will thank you.
Right now, you can get 20% off your first order when you go to blueland.com/chatty. That's 20% off your first order of any Blue Land products at blueland.com/chatty. blueland.com/chatty. Okay, so I was just telling Jess, I have two topics I want to talk about. I want to talk about our home thing, and I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about something pertaining to crushes, and it's big news. But I'll talk to you about that on the next episode.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
That is a tease. Damn it. All right.
And I have like multiple questions for you that I've been meaning to ask you for years now. No, not years, like several weeks. But we never get to it because we just like talk about so much
stuff.
I know.
Do you see my list that I have for today? I'm like, oh my God, I have so many things.
Okay. So we put in an offer on our on a house.
Yes.
And we did not get the house. And okay. I am so happy about it.
Really?
So happy.
Okay. It was a beautiful home.
It's a beautiful home.
Yeah.
Not for us. And you know, this is why I'm just like, you gotta trust the universe. And I'm so excited because I just have this big dream now that I'm so excited about. So it was so funny. The night before we were supposed to hear back from the realtors, like Gray and I were sitting in our living room. We were just looking around and we were like, I really like our house. Like, I really like our house. Like, and we had kind of been saying that all along. Like, I don't want to sell our home. And then we're like, does it make sense to like rent out our house? And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. Don't want to deal with that. And we were both just like, we really like our house. And both of us felt extremely like neutral. Like we really didn't care if they told us that, which is like good to be, it's good to be detached.
Sure.
But also I remember with our house, it was like, we really like, this is the right
house.
You're
sitting by the phone.
Yeah.
You're just anxiously waiting.
Yeah, so excited. Yeah. And I just didn't feel that way, but I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. But you know, it was so strange. I kept getting this like sense that it was like moving into this house did not match up with like my philosophy or like ethics, which was like a strange thing to keep popping in my head. And I kept like justifying it, but like it kept popping up. And you know, I'd talk to friends. They'd be like, it's good. Like, so this new house, including the back house space, was probably like triple the size of our current home. And I was talking to friends, you know, and family, and they kept saying like, you know, oh, you need more space, like as the kids get older. And look, I have out there like very moralistic kind of values that I have had to learn are just mine, and they're not right, and they shouldn't be anyone else's. Yeah. They're just mine. But it was so funny that kept coming in my head, and I was kind of like, huh, that's weird. And then I was really reflecting on it after we heard we weren't getting the house, because both of us were kind of like happy and we like didn't care. And I just realized like I have actually even talked to Gray over the last several months. Like, you know, I even dream sometimes of moving to an even smaller house, because what I love about being in our home is that it forces us to get outside, it forces us to do activities, and it forces us to be mindful of the space that we're inhabiting and like the things that we're putting in our space. Mm. And I know that I could still do that in a big house, 100%. But like it, the way our house is right now, and if we were in even a smaller place, it would just force me to do that, which is something that's really important to me. It's like one of my values and one of his values too. It's one of our shared kind of like philosophies. And so I kind of realized that, and I was like, oh yeah, like I wasn't being true to myself by trying to like fit us into a house like that didn't fit that. And anyway, but then I got thinking about it, and basically I think that I'll talk more about it, but I have emailed a realtor about a property that's like up in the mountains, and I have this dream, and I was sharing it with Gray last night. Now he's pretty hyped on it too. I've been reading books, well, a book and like a lot of different blogs and stuff like that over the last several days about earth building techniques, where you basically use like techniques people have used for thousands of years to like, you can build your own house out of like, from like mud and sand and straw and all that shit. I'll show you photos after. If you Google like cob houses, like corn on the cob, cob houses. Yeah. Cob is just a mixture of like sand and mud and straw, basically. Anyway, they're like so fucking cool. They look like those storybook houses. They're what like in the ancient like UK, what they would build their houses out of. And so, you know, those like storybook looking houses with like these crazy windows and all of that.
Yeah.
Those are all made out of cob, out of earth. And they're earthquake proof, fireproof, flood proof, and they can last for hundreds of years without maintenance.
Earthquake proof? Say less.
Yeah.
Catch me making a cob house next week.
This is where my Aquarian, like, fuck the man things comes in, because I'm reading this book, and they're basically like, why do you think like we have government regulations of having to have like cement pads and like all of this stuff is to like, if you build a cop house, you can do it for like, you can build literally like you can build 2 or 3 story houses out of cop if you're skilled enough, but you can build it with the mud in your backyard. So you could literally build a house for under $10,000. Like an actual house. Yeah. And so basically this book is like, they don't want you to know you can build cop houses. They don't want you to know you can like build your own shit. Like, so anyway, so I think that's something that we want to, and what, like my kind of vision, and Gray's pretty on board too, is like building, making a property and when you're working with Cobb, you can do it like really slowly. So you basically like make, you slowly build up the walls and you have to let it dry and then build up another layer. But you could make it over years and years. It doesn't matter. So my kind of idea is every summer, you know, we could go up for weekends or weeks, or like if we had the time, go up for a month, have friends and family come camp and like help and slowly, and over slowly time, over like 5 or 6 summers, like build our property so that it's a getaway. Maybe one day we could live there, all that. So.
That's pretty amazing.
And I'm so psyched.
That's
and
your like, new project.
That's my new project. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm waking up every day for. But it was just so cool because it was like, I felt like that putting in an offer on that house. And when we did tarot, everything was like super like having to do with like family and home and financial security. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was just a good reminder of like, we don't have to stay in one place and we can do new things, even though that wasn't the new thing for us. I felt like right. It opened the door in my head.
Yes, to process it. That's so cool.
So I'm so excited.
That's so cool.
That's like the new thing.
And I admire, you know, where I know you said they're, the morals, they're yours, mm-hmm. but I admire where your head's at. Now I'm looking to get a house so big that I don't have to see my family ever again.
That's another thing I was scared of, actually. Like, I was reading some article where it was like, American architecture is like meant to like pull the family like apart from their neighbors, apart from each other, into their private little rooms. And then I'm like,
it is so funny. As a child, I have very vivid memories where at one point we were living in like, you know, a moderate sized home. Yeah. And then, my mom and dad decided to like build a house from the ground up. And in that interim, we rented a very small space.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say very small. It was just, it was quite Relatively smaller. Yeah. And I was in the same room as my baby sister at the time, mm-hmm. who was going through horrible nights, just bawling all night. You know, I wasn't used to that. But my parents have memories of it where like, they're like, that was the worst 6 months of our lives. And I have really special memories about it because I felt so close to my family. It was like I was sharing a room with my sister. You know, we had a small space where we would like, you know, we'd have to eat together like every single yeah. night and like watch the same show because yeah. it was just small. And I have really like, I have such happy memories of that place. And then we moved from there to probably the largest house we ever lived in throughout my life with my family. And I just felt depressed after we moved from that house into this big house because I just was like, I had this beautiful room that my mom had been working on for me. And like, it sounds so, I don't know. But it felt like, I was all the way by myself on like the other side of this house. And I would just sit there alone quietly like all day. And I just felt really separated then from my family.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
I think it's cool that you guys and Ember are like in adjoining rooms. Do you like that now?
I love it. I love her being in the same. There's just like the one door. Yeah. It's considered conjoined rooms, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I love it so much. I feel so close to her at nighttime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yet still, she's in her own little room.
She still has her own room. Lord knows she needs her own room.
Jess was cracking me up because she was telling me I liked the little like grow. I got the little light clock for Ember for Ruth. And Jess was like, we tried getting that clock for Ember. And she was like, no light in my room.
She needs to sleep in absolute darkness. She gets so upset. She's a total vampire. And if I even consider like, hey, you know, can I cuddle up with you for a little bit or get out? Like she needs. And even she wants to like have her friends have like, you know, little play dates. And I was like, you know, we can have like one of your best friends over and we can have, you know, we can have a slumber party if their parents are okay with it. And she's just like, how am I supposed to sleep with someone in my room? She's like, they can sleep somewhere else in the house. And I'm like, no, we don't have the space for that. I'm not going to. So let's just have day play dates. Okay, I guess we're not doing the slumber party. How am I supposed to sleep with someone in my room? Horrified by the idea. Yeah. I'm like, also probably your friend would be horrified by the utter darkness that you sleep in.
The crypt.
Yes. With all of your spirits in your room. Okay.
Okay. Do we have time for you to give a update? Is there any update?
Yes. I mean, I can. Yes, I can give. So I talked about it a little bit when Evan and I recorded a podcast together, but I need to tell you.
I need to listen. Everyone was saying that was so hilarious.
It was really, it was fun. He literally pulled me out of bed to do it. So I was like in kind of a mood.
Amazing.
But
that's the best content.
Just drag me out. But basically, you know, I was texting you with some thoughts when I was...
Oh, yeah, you psychopath.
So I was just, you know, feeling the new year and trying new things. And so I was like, Becca, should I do this Ouija board app on my phone? I'm alone in my house right now.
By the way, there's a brand new Ouija board at a consignment store by my house, still in the packaging.
Never so it's been fresh.
Used. It's fresh.
That's good.
You want me to get it for you?
Yes.
I'm going to keep it in like a lead box in the back of my car. It will not touch my house.
Yeah.
Should I get it for you? I'm going to get it
for you. I feel like I would do it just not in my home.
That's probably.
Like do it elsewhere. Yeah. You know, rent an Airbnb and infect someone else's home with
that's
the demons.
Idea. That's a great idea. But hey, they might make more money because they can advertise it for their Airbnb, right?
See, that's the thing. Ultimately, capitalism.
Yes.
So I was texting Becca and I was like, should I download this app, this Ouija board app? And she's like, you're out of your goddamn mind. So then instead I downloaded the ghost apps. And so I was going all around my house. I don't know if these things.
I don't believe in these.
You know, I don't. There was one that was like highly reviewed by ghost hunter people.
Okay.
That they were like, this is it. And that one just showed like heat spots, okay. Basically.
Okay.
And so thermal that one, yeah, thermal
detector.
And that one was actually kind of weird because it was like my house was completely like there was nothing in my home.
And no, then like, even I did not register as heat.
You know, what was weird is it's like when I would look in the mirror with the phone, it would detect me in the mirror. Yeah. So I was like making sure that it was working. And then I went to my bedroom.
No way.
And it was packed.
No way.
With movement.
No way.
And then I went into Embers. Yes. And then I went into Embers and it was packed. Well, I was going to tell you, it was packed with movement.
Are you serious?
Yes. So nowhere else in the house was there anything. The hallway that I thought was like feeling weird, whatever, all in the bedroom, mine and Embers.
Weird.
Uh-huh. I was like, I showed Evan before he recorded with Gray. He was so angry at me because he gets so scared of that type of stuff that he's like, now you want me to sleep in here tonight? Like, what is wrong with you? So definitely reminded him of that while he was in bed, cozy next to me. Like he finished recording the podcast and like got in next to me. And I was like, isn't it weird to think there are like 15 spirits in here right now? And he's like, get out of bed.
Get out, Satan. Get out.
So then when Ember was in school the next day, I at one point downloaded another ghost app and I was like, I'm going to go in Ember's room and like see if I can talk to these beings. And I did what Roz did with us with radio things. And I definitely like I heard Ember. I heard Young. I heard what was the other word? I heard a couple words that were very clear.
Ew, that's weird.
But then this one app that I downloaded, which seemed so hokey to me, right? It was like you can literally put it around the room and if there's a spirit standing there, sometimes it's like a ghost, sometimes it's an animal, whatever, you can talk to it.
Okay.
And ask it certain questions. Okay. So obviously it's like, come on. Like you're like, there are 5 questions you can ask and it will respond. And you're like, all right, this is ridiculous. But this was the freaky part.
Ew.
I went into Ember's room.
Ew, I'm getting creeped out. Okay.
I went into Ember's room and there was a being standing right in front of her bed, like protecting her bed. And it wasn't like...
Ew, stop!
it wasn't like an animal. And it wasn't... It was like this skeletal, like... something with like fringy thingies. And I'd seen other things on this app that were like people, animals, whatever. It was standing there in front of the bed. And so I asked, where it was or what it was.
Were you scared or no?
I was starting to freak out a little bit, even though I was like, this is so, yeah. This isn't fake. This is fake. But I was like, you know, are you from here? And it said that, I forget, I have screenshots somewhere. It said that it was from like another space in time from like a specific group of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you good or evil? And then it said something like, I'm here to take care. I'm like, okay, that seems positive. It was a little vague, but a positive. And then it was like, what is your purpose here? And it literally said.
No. What did it say?
Okay. Here's the thing. No. Ember's name.
No.
We always call her our little spark.
What did it say?
It said, I am here to protect the divine spark.
No.
Yes. Or I am here to take care of the divine spark.
So it doesn't sound like this is the demon. It sounds like.
I mean, I feel like it's. And then I was just
but
like.
But then why is it scared? But like.
I mean, you can't judge the outward appearance. You know what I mean? Like it looked kind of creepy. No, but I mean, but,
Ember's been having scary experiences too. Maybe there's a spiritual battle going on in her room.
Well, if that thing is protecting the divine spark, that means that there is something to protect it from, correct?
Have you done a cleansing? Have you done like holy oil, water?
I've done what I can. But I think that little one is bringing in some sort of.
You need to talk to the teachers at school. Who is she summoning from the classroom? What kind of demons are the Quick children questions. In the classroom putting on
I blame
her?
The other children. Yeah. All I know, you know, she's.
Someone brought something to school. It's like COVID. She caught a spirit and she brought it home.
But check this out. So this whole thing is happening. And then I met with that psychic.
Oh, yeah.
I met with the psychic.
Oh, yeah. Wait a second.
So I went to a psychic. And
how did you find this person? Yelp?
I found them online and it was through,
I mean, there's so many psychics. There's so many. I wonder.
But I saw someone that had, you know, like good reviews and was connected to this one like store that's local. And but this person, when you go in to this Zoom meeting with this specific psychic, like they don't know my full name going in.
Yeah.
So you know, the little baby part of me that does have any sort of skepticism is like, okay, there's no way that this person could have looked at my Instagram or anything that. They don't have that information until afterwards.
Send me this person. I'm making Gray do it immediately.
Okay. So I'll be real. I hopped on with the psychic and I was like, I don't think this is going to go great. I'm like, maybe I've been spoiled with Jessica and Teresa, you know, it's just like, okay, because a little disheveled, a little bit like, wait, what was your name again? And I was just like, aren't you a psychic? But then we started kind of getting in the flow. And all of a sudden, there were some things that were coming out. She's like, you have a daughter, yes? I'm like, yeah, I have a daughter. Again, haven't revealed these things. But I'm like, yeah, I have a daughter. And she's like, okay, so this is what I'm like picking up because I feel like you need to hear this. She's like, you, and I had literally just had this conversation with Evan. She's like, you feel like your childhood was completely, number one, repressed with what your desires were.
Yeah.
She, number two, you were a different being than the rest of your family. Mm. Like you were super sensitive and your family was not. You were super creative and your family was not. And you had all these things that you wanted to pursue, but you felt like because you didn't have any encouragement from your family, you had to really stifle it and, you know, try to fit in with what they wanted. And she's like, your daughter, this is so crazy. She goes, your daughter was your older sister in a previous life.
Whoa.
She said your daughter was your older sister who took care of you. And what's happening now is she's come back in this new life as your daughter so that you could see and learn what you could have been in your youth and experienced in your childhood if you were allowed to be fully free in who you were. She's like, so there's healing that will happen as you raise and watch your daughter be fully who she is.
Yeah.
because she goes, you and your husband didn't have that. And this is now the opportunity where she's coming back. And I was just like, okay. And it, I mean, it had this weird like
thing. I was going to say, do you believe it?
Yeah, totally. I totally do. Because there's always been this energy with Ember where she's so busy. Yeah. But then there's this kind of, she'll snap into these weird moments yeah. where sometimes, like I said, I think it's, you know, it's very important to like never put your child in this position where you're like making them the parent. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously there are moments sometimes in life where you're having a breakdown or whatever in the kids. And the way that she always handles it, I'm like, there's this weird energy that then something snaps, mm-hmm. even since she was like a baby. Mm-hmm. And I feel weirdly connected to her in a way that like goes beyond motherhood. And it's hard to explain. And so I've always been like, I don't know if I believe in past lives, but like if there were, you know, our past lives, I believe that I was connected to my daughter in some form. I don't know what. And so when she said older sister, it was like, oh my God, that makes total sense to me, because I feel like since she's been born, since I was impregnated with her is when all of a sudden my bipolar was able to become manageable. Yeah. It was like she was like this healing to me. And then
in a very tangible way.
Right? And then since I got pregnant, and then throughout that time with her, like each year, I'm like, yes, obviously I'm parenting this child, but like there is this feeling of like I'm healing every year you're in my life, because I feel like because of having to parent you, I am coming face to face with these really real things about myself that I didn't acknowledge, which I think is part of parenting in general. Yeah. But like, I don't know, like it just felt, and even if, you know, it's all just whatever, it was kind of a powerful like thing to hear, because I was like, oh my God, like there's this opportunity to...
There's an opportunity to heal.
To heal.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then, you know, then she told me some other things about like Ember's propensities with creativity and her being like, I know that she seems impatient, which she's just nailing her. She's like, I know she seems impatient to you and it can be really challenging to try to teach her things, but just know when she wants to learn, she has a very clear sense of what she should and needs to be doing mm-hmm. here on this planet. Mm. She knows. So when she finds something that is right for her, you will not have to push her to do it. So let her find that. Don't push those things on her and feel like, oh, she's just giving up and being impatient. She's like, no, when she finds, and it's very true. It's like the things that Ember is interested in, there's no need to have to encourage her to practice or whatever. And then the last thing she said is she was like, also, she's like, you have, she said that I had like an aura around me and like a guide with me that is the same, that Ember and I have the same guide. And she's like, it is an old, old relative of yours that is like this feminine presence. She's like, that is, you guys both share the same guide. And I was like, that's exciting.
Did she tell you anything else crazy?
I mean, just like really, really specific, just really specific things about like my personality that I hadn't said it, like barely a word to her, that she was kind of nailing about like mine and Ember's relationship, mine and Evan's relationship. Yeah. And it was just a little bit like, oh gosh, it just was an interesting, like, new perspective. And so then when I saw this thing standing in front of Ember, and then, you know, then she had said, like, you all share the same guide and da-da-da-da-da, and she's here to, like, help heal. I didn't then get as spooked, because I was like, maybe that's just part of what it is like, she gives off, she is a very powerful energy of a being, you know, whether that be new or old soul, I don't know, but...
And she's bringing the demons into your home.
And she's bringing the demons in.
And you need to talk to her about that. And you need to address that immediately. And as my mom would say, you need to nip that in the bud now.
Ember, we need to talk.
Or it's going to get out of control.
We need to talk. She hasn't been having any nightmares recently, which is good. That's good. Which is good. Apparently that being has been protecting her. Maybe it's new on the scene.
Maybe your mother has been praying.
That might also be part of it. Oh my God.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
Did you have any past life regression?
I had to reschedule because of my...
See, wouldn't that be cool if there's like overlap?
Oh.
Because that's when you know. Then you're cross-checking.
Then I'm like, we're cross-checking
your sources.
Your whatever they call that
with research, you know? Then you know if you have two sources saying the same thing, that's true.
Yeah, then
that's
I'm
just
like,
fact.
Easy. Uh-huh.
What if it, yeah.
If that cross checks,
I'm going to freak out.
And then I'll freak out a little bit. If I'm just like, I have an older sister in it at some point.
Oh, in pastoral life progression, do you do it that no one tells you anything?
They walk you through like meditative places to like get you there. And then you start to like envision what's going on.
I'm really skeptical about the past life progression. I am. I'm not going to lie about that one. See a couple more mediums, see what they say.
I found this person and I really want to do this after past life regression.
Yes.
Who does past life regression and then what's called afterlife regression to help people who are really scared of dying.
I think you told me about this.
I'm like, literally dump it on me. Dump it on me because God knows I'm so scared of dying. And this person like is supposedly helps you have these like, it's like DMT without having to do DMT, like where you're experiencing this picture of the afterlife that's very real to you that like helps take away fear of the idea of death.
I used to think about what I thought the afterlife would be like, and I remember crying because I was so excited.
Wow, I wish I had just a sliver. Just a sliver.
I think I've talked about this before, but I'm just scared of pain. I'm not scared of dying.
No, I know.
I'm just scared. I don't want to be in... I'm not scared of pain. I'm scared of being afraid. I always think about this when I hear of how people died. I'm like, oh, they're afraid? That sounds like the worst.
Yeah, that's very frightening, like, but I'm mostly just afraid of what happens after.
What comes after.
Yes.
Yes. You know, do you think that that plays into, like, you know how you're talking about how we
I had a full-blown panic attack about it last night. Like, I just laying there.
What happens after death?
It's when I lay there
in
bed.
You're not scared of the death, you're scared of what happens after.
Correct. It's, I lay there and I go, oh my God. And it's like my whole body rushes, like adrenaline is surging through my body. And I go, oh my God, one day... it's done. And when I sit there and think about it, I lose my shit. When I literally think about like one day, it's done. Because every day feels like there's no end to this. Life exists because I'm here, right? Like this is happening because I'm here. But when I go, this will keep happening. And I'm just like, oh, I have a cap. And that really freaks me out, which is why I would never want to go to any sort of person who would tell me like how I die. And
I don't want to hear that
because I then would live in, I would be like it would be the countdown.
No,
for
I don't
me.
Think that's right. I don't like no, that. No, I don't like that at all.
No.
Also, could become the self-fulfilling prophecy.
1000%.
But yeah, I think I've talked about it before. I'm just scared of the only thing I'm scared of is like I've said, if there is random reincarnation. That has nothing to do with your karma.
But then also there's this part of like,
terrified
you won't know though, because you'll then be...
Who cares? I'll still be suffering. I won't know, but I will still have to experience suffering in my consciousness.
Yeah.
Potentially profound suffering, which I don't wish to do. I like my life and I don't want to live in anyone else's.
I just don't want it to be over. Ever.
Are you the Tuck Everlasting bitch that would... That would
totally.
Oh God, no.
I don't want to like be 120 and be like uncomfortable. I just want it to be,
you want to be 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you liked Edward.
Yeah, correct. I'm like, disgusting. Honestly, bite me, baby. Let me live for forever.
Disgusting. I don't want to see the world crumble around me. I don't
want to see
forever.
That either, but I also just, the idea of not being here really scares me.
Mm.
Maybe I'm a narcissist.
Mm.
I should take that test. Mm. I remember they have that test. It's the narcissism test. This Machiavellian.
Is
kind of
like narcissism.
If I just care about me being here for forever. Like if the world burns, but I need to stay. Was a little narcissistic.
It's the cockroach in you.
It is the cockroach
in you.
Yeah, I mean,
I just, you know, sweet release. Death is a sweet release.
I do want whatever energy my Nana has. Like, I really do want to her just like, I'm ready to go whenever, but I'm enjoying life every day as it is now. And I want to have that energy. Evan legit sat down with her last week.
Yes.
And he got his mic.
Yes.
His mic's out. Yes. And he got his camera out and he interviewed her. And she's like her 90s. And so we gave him a bunch of questions. We're like, I think it'd be fun if Evan interviews, because maybe he'll be able to get more out than, like, you know, family members.
That's cool.
Yeah. And he said he was there with her for 3.5 hours. It's long. But I was dying laughing because I'm like, here's this 90-something-year-old woman who still, he said when he was asking her questions, he was still catching her in shit. Where, like, he knew that my grandma had been engaged and then went to a party and saw my grandpa and was like, he will be mine. And, like, they started, like, dancing, and that next day she went and broke up with her fiance and basically slid into my my boppy's DMs. And Evan literally asked her, like, hey, so what was your, like, first big relationship? And she was like, oh, it was Walter, is my grandfather.
That's so weird. My mom, her grandpa, she called him Boppy, and his name was Walter, too. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know she a called lot of Boppies Boppy. Or Walters.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway.
But, yeah, so she goes, she's like, yeah, I was with Walter. And Evan's like, really? You had no other, like, serious relationships before Walter? And she goes, no, no. And Evan's like...
He's like, you lying bitch.
Evan goes, Claire, I heard you were engaged before Walter. And I guess my Nana just goes, oh, Sylvia with the gossiping mouth and, like, blaming my mom. And I'm like, Nana, how much are you lying in this interview? And she's just like, it was only ever Walter. I'm like, I get that you feel it in your heart. But we want history. We want history. And I'm dead that, like, a 90-something-year-old woman is still just like, well, it was only the one guy.
This is the legacy I'm leaving behind, for better or for worse.
No, that's what I'm like, it just makes me laugh so hard that I'm like, no matter what age we get, we are still just ourselves. We're just ourselves.
You know
what's
so scary?
Beautiful,
and
though.
When you get old, you get even less of a filter. I am going to be cutting ties left and right with people. Oh, God. My nanny. Oh, my God.
You're just like, grandchildren who?
Did I tell you about my nanny? She was like 94 and she stayed at my great grandma. And she stayed at our house one time. I think I did tell you this before, but whatever. I'll tell it again. She stayed at our house because she lived with my grandpa and they like went out of town for the week. So she was at our house and she had her little walker and she was all bent over with her osteoporosis and she had white, white hair. And she was like in the pantry and I remember she was like getting into the tortilla chips. She loved Mission tortilla chips. And I walk in, I'm like, Nanny, what are you doing? And she turns around and she goes like this. She goes, none of your damn business. And I'm like a 10-year-old, you know?
You're just like, oh.
So I'm like, what the heck? Just like, okay. I just scurry out of there all quick. She was just like, we're on a strictly need to know basis and you don't need to know what I'm doing with these Mission tortilla chips. Like, what? What a bitch. Man. So anyway.
That makes me so happy.
I'm scared. Yesterday or this morning, I was just thinking about how we've been talking about doing a wife swap episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
Valentine's Day is coming up, so time to swap spouses.
Oh, that's a perfect time to swap spouses.
But I was thinking we need to do that. And
yes.
We can talk these kind of things. I want to hear Evan's take on it too, because I feel like Evan might be in my camp.
You guys have to talk, but he's 100%. He does not fear the same things that I fear at all. You guys are way more similar in that way.
Uh-huh.
If I find out that Gray, by the way, fears death the way that I do, I will be so overjoyed because I need a companion because I don't have anyone in my life who has the same fear and it makes me crazy.
I don't know if he does. I don't think he does, but I really don't know.
I mean, it is an active fear to the point where I lay in bed, I get like raging panic attacks about it.
I like to think romantic.
Like Evan has to like rub my back and like have me breathe because I all of a sudden I just pops up in my brain like just the concept.
Aren't you excited though? Like what if it's, this is how I think. I'm like, but what if it's the most like amazing surprise?
Listen, I have grown up in absolute religious trauma and I know it's hell.
That's the strange thing is religion convinced me.
I know
me.
I'm going to hell.
Religion convinced me I'm going to be, and maybe I'm the narcissist. Maybe I thought I was so perfect. I always knew I was going to heaven because I'm convinced it's going to be heavenly bliss where I'm joined with all my family members in a beautiful mountain in the sky.
Girl, I know it's nothing but flames and darkness over here. The gnashing of teeth. I know it.
The weeping. So that's like scary. You, the Kanye song Lamborghini Mercy, where it's like, "It was a weeping in the morning and the night."
I don't like anything of that sort.
That was a scary. That song scared me. I remember being high in my friend's car and being like, "I don't like this. This is dark."
Speaking of Kanye, by the way, and grandparents, my grandma, my other grandma. So I have my little Swiss grandma who's just like, "Ooh, hello," and then my dad's mom who is like the same mid 90s, and every time I go and see her. I mean, now this is who I'm like, I'm going to be you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be you, Grandma May. Whenever I go see her, she's just like, have you heard that Kanye is now doing this whole like fake dating thing with Julia Fox? She's like, what are your thoughts on Donda? And she's like 94. And she knows all.
Queen.
I know she knows all the pop culture, and she like schools me sometimes on it. And I'm just like, excuse me, like no. I'm like, I haven't listened to that yet, or I didn't know about that. She's like, oh gosh, it's just you know. She knows all of it.
That's so funny.
Fantastic.
I love that.
Now that's a chatty broad.
All right, broads. What a great ep.
A great episode. Tune in. For the bros, of course, tomorrow. I heard that the past few Clayton episodes have been wild. So hope you all are enjoying those. I know I still know nothing of it. Just little tidbits here and there. Something about shrimp.
I know. I see the memes.
I'm like, what is this shrimp thing about? I don't understand. When you're not watching it, it's very confusing to see the memes.
I keep meaning very to watch confusing. It with them, and I haven't. So I actually haven't seen anything either. And I see the memes, and I don't know either. I don't know who these people are.
I have no idea what the shrimp is. What is the shrimp?
I don't know.
And I don't want to know what the shrimp is because it sounds exhausting. And then,
that's when you know you need a break, when you're like, I don't the thought of knowing the backstory like, of the shrimp just feels like too shrimp. Much.
This feels so just unimportant to talk about this shrimp situation. We have Kanye and Julia Fox to talk about.
Yes.
Broads, yes. Bros, and then tune in next week. We've got some fun episodes and
chat soon.
Chat soon.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.